What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Off the Dome Radio. We have another fun one for you, but we do have a little different offering for all of our listeners. So excited to get to that one today. But stay tuned, because that's right in the middle. We have a special offering for you that Tim and I have really enjoyed ourselves. So we want to pass it on to all of our listeners as well. But as always, we start just chopping it up. I talk about some different strategies I'm using with some various types of content on TikTok, and then my free coffee extravaganzas from Panera. That hazelnut coffee is the best. So I dive into what I've been doing on social media and my attempt to be the new Panera spokesperson, particularly for the coffee. But then we get into, I talk about some fitness tips and about how I don't care about food quality when it comes to your performance. I dive deep into that and I wrap up with book talk. I am in the middle of Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. Fantastic book. I'm loving it so far. And today I talk about four ways to approach conflict, but also get everything that you want. Tim, where do you take us today in the episode?
Yeah, this was a great episode. Glad we were able to get in today. I won my first ever 5-0 level pickleball
tournament.
Let's go! Huge breakthrough for me and my partner, Seth. And beyond that, I talk about key takeaways and lessons learned from that that are not only applicable to pickleball, but just the rest of life. So I'm going to get into that. Fun to talk about that. And then I talk about, for interviews, interview preparation, three of the best types of answers to use in an interview. So I talk about the three different types, and I talk about specific examples that I promise you are relevant to something you've probably gone through and things that you can use in your interview to...
Great tips.
Instead of getting passed up and finishing in second or third or fourth place for that dream job, you're going to be the one selected if you use these three types of answers and examples. So talk about that. And then book talk, Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. There's two different entities that are within you, two different mindsets that you take for every decision, every situation. I talk about both of those, the advantages and disadvantages of each, and how you can leverage both of them to really make it through this life successfully, whether it's in your personal life, professional life, or any other different type of role that you play in your life. So yeah, I think you guys are going to love this episode. I hope you enjoy it. Always feel free to reach out if there's any suggestions on things you want us to talk about. So without further ado, episode 223.
Man, a lot of cops on the road getting speeders, Tim. But I was so fast, they didn't even see me.
Oh, did you go north on 37? To get here?
Well, I went, yeah, I was on 465 and then east and west, and then I was up 69 coming here, and yeah, dude, a lot of cops out and about today.
Yeah.
But which is good. Like, I'm glad they have a strong presence. Not every city has that, and you see what happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I just went fast enough where it was a blur. They didn't even see me. Like, they blinked and I was gone. So that's the way around not getting caught for speeding. Or you have a scanner, which I don't. Just kind of gamble it every day.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm smart about my speeding. Like the long stretches on interstate where you can see way off, you can clearly see there's no cops there. Mm-hmm. But when you're going over like a blind hill where you can come over the top and you might already be too fast, and by the time you see them, they already got you. Mm-hmm. I let the hill slow me down. Foot off the gas, mm-hmm. just come over. It slows me down to like 5 above the speed limit. Mm-hmm. Then I'm on my way. I look. Oh, no one there. It's go time again, baby. Let's go. So I think I'm strategic with my speeding.
Yeah.
And now that I'm incriminating myself on the podcast, I never speed, Tim.
Yeah. Do we have any cops?
These are hypotheticals. Hypotheticals.
So what is speeding to you mean? Like how fast?
If you're over the speed limit, Tim.
Okay.
Over the speed limit is speeding.
I thought there was like 7 to 8 over.
I mean, depends on the cop you talk to. Some of them, you know, 5 over, not a big deal. 10 over, all right, they're gonna stop you. If you're speeding at all in a construction zone, though, mm-hmm. that's where it might get a little hairier. Where mm-hmm. it's like, hey, it's a construction zone. There's people working. 5 over might get you a ticket, maybe. Or at least pulled over.
Yeah.
So, you know, those types of things, that in school zones, my brother got got reamed pretty good in the school zone.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, construction zones, school zones, I don't gamble with that.
Yeah.
But any other time, it's look, I like to go quick. I like, you know, I don't know, 5 over feels way better no matter the speed limit. It could be 45, 50 feels better. Could be 20 and 25 just feels better. I don't know why, Tim.
Yeah.
Maybe I have a problem, but just going a little quicker, it feels good to me.
Well, yeah, because like any speed that you're like designating yourself that you're going to go at, if you're not driving on cruise, mm-hmm. you're probably going to fluctuate between under that designated speed limit or over. So if you're always designating the actual speed limit and you're going under the speed limit, that's way too slow at that point.
Yeah,
so you
want
to at least aim high so that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and my viewpoint is like I feel like cops are more lenient and I'm more likely to speed in areas where there's no residential at all, or there's no driveways that like lead up to the road. So if I'm on like 37 or 69 or like any like main road or even like a country road with not that many houses, like I think you're almost fine with anything below 10.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've driven past a cop that's like there to catch people, and I was going 8 over, and I wasn't.
Yeah. Were you going with traffic too?
Yeah.
I think that makes a big difference. Like if you're clearly with the flow of traffic, I think you're good. Even if that could be 10 over, but if all of traffic is going, because going slower becomes dangerous.
Yeah.
But if traffic is going all together one speed and you fly by them, you're clearly speeding.
Yeah.
Like dangerously. You're going to get stopped.
Yeah.
So it's also flow of traffic. Like sometimes on 69, it might be 55 and everyone is going like 65 or 70,
mm-hmm.
then I think you're okay. Because if everyone's going the same, how are they going to just pick you out?
Yeah.
You know?
Because you want the flow of traffic to be smooth.
Exactly.
And safe. Like, those are the two top priorities. The
flow
of traffic.
Too slow is dangerous.
Kind of got to, like, balance it, too.
Yeah. Like, on 65, like, those two-lane interstates, the left lane is for crime.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going the exact speed limit or slower, don't be in the left lane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Come on, it's just standard rules of engagement here.
Yeah, but yeah, if I'm ever like hanging out with someone who is a police officer for a living, or if I'm at a party, or if I'm ever interacting with someone, I always gotta
ask. That's your first question?
I always gotta ask.
So when I'm driving, how fast can
I'm
I go?
I'm sure no one ever asks you this, but
look, hypothetically, you're off duty right now, yes? Okay, I have a question.
Great.
I got 4 pounds of heroin. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that escalated quickly.
If I say that's personal use, where do we stand? it is interesting talking to some of my cop friends on like, hey, is this like self-defense? Can I speed here? Just all the questions of, and it's the law is the law, but they also have discretion, you know, so... It is interesting to get different points of view from different cops. But, just be nice to cops. Do what they tell you to do, and you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wrong, you're wrong.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes they're not always nice. It just depends. But just do what they do and suck it up. Do what they tell you to do.
Yeah.
I was wrongly accused once way back in the day. They thought I was, like, robbing houses. I picked up my neighbor that I grew up with right across the street, and I was stopped in the wrong place. Like, I wasn't in front of a house because they gave me shit directions, and I didn't have like an actual address, so I just kind of stopped, and there was an open field to my right, but houses everywhere, like and nice houses, but I didn't know where to go, and they said when the road curves, stop. So I stopped there. I thought maybe it was a house on my left. Before you know it, 4 squad cars around me, spotlights, they're looking like through the window in my car. I'm driving a Honda Odyssey. Okay. So the most that they're going to find is like a cheetah spotted little portable like trash can, like a bag trash can. And it's like, look, guys, I know I look like a punk.
Yeah.
I'm like 16, 17.
You do look like one.
In my punk phase. But I was nice. One cop was a total asshole. And, you know, it ended up being fine. But they never told me that they had robberies in the neighborhood. They've had break-ins. And I'm driving a van. I'm stopped, clearly not in a driveway, kind of suspect. Okay, I get it, but at least tell me, hey, we've had some break-ins. We just want to make sure that you're not one of those. Mm-hmm. I told them about 18 different times, I'm here to pick up my neighbor and my friend. I don't know what house. They gave me crap directions. Here I am. Finally, they're walking down. They're like calling me. Hey, are you with the cops? I was like, yeah, a lot of them. Get your ass down here. And finally, they corroborated my story. We're driving away. They're like, so they tell you why they stopped you? I was like, no. They're like, oh, they've had break-ins. I was like, that would have been nice to know. Like, hey, give me some context. I'm just sitting here waiting for my friends. But I did what they told me to do. Didn't do anything they told me not to do. So it's, you just got to suck it up sometimes.
Yeah.
God, I looked like a punk too. I remember. I was rocking the faux hawk those days, dude. Oh, man. Yeah, the way too tight shirt with not enough muscle to show it off. As opposed to these days, you know. Now those
come a long way.
Now those youth smalls look really good on me, Tim.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, it's the way it is, dude. They are the law. You got to listen to them.
Yeah. So always got to show respect too.
Yeah, 100%, dude. Because there's a lot of good ones that deal with bullshit people too.
Yeah.
So there's more good ones and bad ones, but right. Yeah, a lot on my way up here. Strategic speeding.
Good.
Today's lesson.
Good. There we go.
Let the hill slow you down, get a good visual, then off to the races again.
There you go.
I just finished watching Drive to Survive season 6. So mm-hmm. I got the heavy foot right now.
Inspiration.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. It's channeling my inner Max Verstappen. So
good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glad you're having some fun on the road.
Hey, you know,
safe fun though.
Yeah, good. You gotta enjoy the little things,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But so that's, you are pretty strict on the speed limit because you've had a ticket before. So
yeah, I've learned from many failures. Before, I mean, first 25 years of my life, I had racked up a lot of speeding tickets. I don't know if it was luck or – but yeah, and I just hate the feeling.
Bad luck that the speed limit was not what you were riding on the dashboard.
Yeah, I don't like the feeling of being pulled over by a cop. I don't like the cost associated with paying a ticket.
Fair enough.
And I'm just like on high alert all the time.
Yeah.
And the thing, like,
the paranoid survived.
I've shifted my mindset. I try to leave my house earlier. I try to leave earlier to give myself more time so I don't have to drive fast. And mm-hmm. And especially since I just got a new car in the last year. I enjoy the drive, so I'm not in a rush.
Yeah,
man.
There you go.
Yeah, so I'm a little stricter.
Yeah, even like, I don't know. I like going a little quick, even when I'm perfectly on time. I have plenty of time. I'll just go a little quicker.
Well, you being a Formula One fan, I mean, that's all you need to tell me on why you're.
Maybe I'll start with that if I do get pulled over. Hey, sir, I just finished season 6 of Drive to Survive. What is that? It's the F1 documentary, you know. Say less. You have a good day, sir.
Have a great day.
Yeah. Go Max. My guy. But yeah. What's going on, Tim? What's up in the world of Tim?
Yeah, man. We got this.
Catch me up to speed, because you just had a big weekend past weekend.
Yeah, a good last 10 days, honestly. But like the past weekend. On this past Saturday, I played in Columbus, Indiana at the Columbus Spring Open.
Yep.
Third 5-0 level tournament of the year. Haven't got a medal yet, but we ended up winning this one.
Let's go!
Oh my gosh.
Bravo, Tim.
Such a monumental day.
Huge.
Felt so good. There were 18 teams, and there were 3 pools. So you played 5 games, and the top 2 teams from each pool advanced to a bracket. Mm. So we went 5-0 in our pool. And then we made it to the quarterfinals, so we had to win 3 more games in the bracket to win the tournament, and we won all 3.
It's like you're playing 3-5s again.
Dude, it was...
like, just undefeated up in here.
Yeah, it was... I mean, yeah, there were a lot of good takeaways here. Like, we definitely were not the best, highest-rated team coming into this tournament.
Okay.
A lot of the other teams... we played against them a lot, but they're higher rated than us, and they usually beat us. Not, like, all the time, but they've won more than we have when we played against them in, like, rec play, when we're playing in cage and stuff. So we knew a lot of the teams heading into this tournament. And, yeah, I think the biggest takeaway is, like, not being the best team heading into here on paper is, like, you have to be willing and open to switch your game plan. Because when you get to this level, it's you got to have the skill to hit the shots, but there's also the strategy and the chess behind mm-hmm. your positioning on the court, who's lining up on the left, who's lining up on the right, where you're hitting the shots, what you're exploiting on the other team. And I told my partner, Seth, I was like, these teams are used to playing against us a certain way because we play the same way all the time.
Yeah.
We have to be flexible and we have to be unpredictable in this tournament. So
that
was a key thing. And then, yeah, going back to the other thing, like, fear no one. Even though we're not the best team here, any team can be beaten on any day with the right strategy, execution, but also confidence in your mindset. Because, like, your partner feeds off your energy when you're on the same team, but your opponents also recognize the energy you bring. So I feel like we kept our energy great the entire time. We were confident in all our shots.
Nice.
We were talking. We were communicative. We were in the middle of the point where we're mine, yours, like saying whose ball is which, like being really communicative. And then
the little details, man.
Yeah. So that was key. And then the third thing I took away is, like, you have to lose and you have to fail along your way. But your body of work and the hours that you put into practicing and honing your craft and working on your weaknesses, like, you're eventually going to catch up to other people who aren't putting in as many hours as you, who may be more experienced than you. And I said that after my January tournament that we didn't do that well in. I was like, my biggest takeaway is, like, all these guys here are more experienced than us. We just haven't put in enough work yet to be at that level. And winning this tournament, it's nice to know that, like, we've kind of arrived at that upper level of players. And what feels even better is, like, the winning tournaments was not the ultimate goal here, but, like, just the process of getting better. We've fallen in love with just practicing, getting better. And that's the first thing I want to do when the tournament is over. I want to go and practice more. And I went back out this morning, and I got a new paddle too. So I'm trying out the new paddle this morning, and I'm excited for the next one. The next one will be this Friday, the 22nd singles tournament in Cincinnati. And then I think I'm probably going to take April off and do a couple in May. Haven't got any ones on the schedule after that, but yeah, man, it's nice to, and kind of get some practice and, but yeah, it's little checkpoints like this that make it worth it. But there's so much more to it. The journey of, like, practicing, networking with people, learning from every single person you play against or with.
Yeah.
That's what I enjoy the most out of all this. And when I go pro, whenever that may be, like, it's going to be because of all these individual days that I've given all my energy into. So
100%.
Good.
Well, yeah, you're putting in, doing a lot of extra work too. I mean, we're doing one or two Saturdays a month, which doesn't sound like a lot to people listening, but they're not just casual workouts.
Right.
You know, we're doing very fine tuned specific things, and you're getting your heart rate jacked up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
the golf, the drill. So yeah, I can't thank you enough for everything you've done, but the golf ball drill that you do with the reaction time, especially doing that when my heart rate's up, that has helped tremendously.
Good.
Yeah. Good. The reaction time of being able to, like, always be on high alert against higher level players.
Yeah.
The things that you've been walking me through, like lateral quickness, but also just, like, the mental focus of, like, being able to have that reaction time, even when I'm tired.
That's the thing is that control. Like, you have to be able to slow things down and still react. Like, when you're super jacked up, your heart rate's beating through your chest, you're tired. You're like, oh, I got this many points. They have this many points, you know. Everything that goes through your head, you got to be able to slow down and just still focus on the ball coming at you, where it's going, and focus on that one hit, then focus on where you need to move, and just one thing at a time.
Yeah.
But I did steal that drill from Formula One drivers.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it works in any sport.
I don't know what kind of balls they use. It might be something similar, but their reaction time is the best in the world.
Yeah.
It's incredible to watch them do that drill. And they're catching it before you can even tell the person let go of the ball, and it's fantastic to watch.
Yeah,
but
yeah, man, I find myself, like, because of the work I've been putting in with you, the gym work, the training of getting my body and my my breathing and everything. I find that any tournament I go into, I get more confident as the tournament goes on because I know that I'm going to be more mentally prepared as everybody else gets tired, because I feel like that's such a key part of any tournament. It's like everyone's fresh and everyone's on point at the front half of the tournament, but if you're lucky enough to make it deeper into the tournament, like, I live for those games because I know that my opponents aren't as high alert.
So, nice. Love it. Yeah, dude, I'm glad it's working. So we'll just keep after it. Add a few new drills each time. We've talked about some other things, getting the parachute out. It's getting nice.
Yep.
So
the weather's turning.
Yeah, increased speed too. But yeah, man, those are fun for me. I like our sessions, because I mean, I love personal training all my people, but when we can get super in the weeds and be very sport specific, and it's just sometimes it's the most purposeful training. Mm-hmm. And you're a go-getter, you're ready to, you stay after it, you're there for work. We have fun, but we don't fuck around. Mm-hmm. And it's go time. So yeah. And I like training that type of athlete.
Yeah.
You know, so it's fun for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll just stay after it, man.
Yeah.
Can you send me your podium picture? Can I repost that?
Yeah, of course.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'll send it to you for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, man, thanks again. It's
dude. Oh, we're not done. People but like, it is yeah, my pleasure.
We're not far off. I think you'll be traveling with me soon.
I think so. Dude, some I think so. Tournaments. I would come to Cincy with you, but I do have vacation with my brother mm-hmm. and dad. Because that's so I can just pop in, visit Ryan, and
yeah.
you know, meet up with him because he's in Cincinnati. But yeah, that'd be a fun one.
Yeah, there's okay. gonna be plenty more.
Yeah, you have to keep me posted how that one goes
for sure.
Yeah, I'll be cheering from afar, about 9,000 feet up in Utah.
Yeah,
but yeah, dude, that's a huge accomplishment. First 5-0 dub.
Yeah. It feels good.
On the belt, yeah.
Yeah, first doubles one, and then yeah. hopefully I can get first singles one within the same week. That's the goal. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good going into it. We'll see.
Yeah, it's definitely a good timing of a solid confidence boost.
Yeah.
Like, you can go into the next one. Like, you knew you can always compete with these people, but now you know you can beat mm-hmm. other 5-0 athletes.
Yeah.
So is there any prize money on this Cincy tourney?
Not for this one, but it's part of like the World Pickleball Tour, which is like kind of just like an own venture that someone started mm-hmm. where if you win any of these challenger tournaments, they have them all over the country, you get to play in nationals next year. So okay. that is and that is for money. So this one isn't nice. For money, but if I win, I get an automatic bid for that. So that's at stake. Sweet. That's kind of okay. what attracted me to this one.
So do you have like points that you rack up throughout a season too? Like are no, there you, points you just, attached to your name?
All you have to do is just win one time, like just win one of the challenger events and you get put in automatic bid into the thing.
Nice.
So
okay.
Yeah, there's no like cumulative points or anything. Wild. Yeah.
Do you know where are those at the same place? Like same city every year? Do you know?
I haven't checked. I think last year was Dallas, but I'm not sure where the national is this year. I guess I'll learn when I'll learn when I win. So,
Fuck yeah, you will. I'm going to nationals. I hope it's in Dallas. Yeah. I've been told I need to hang out in Dallas.
Yeah, but, I've heard Dallas. I've heard Viraj is in Austin right now, celebrating his birthday. He says Austin's a good city.
Nice,
a big pickleball scene in Austin. There's a tournament today. The finals are today in Austin. So nice. I'll be watching that this afternoon.
Yeah,
yeah, man. Yeah. That's how you know that you're a complete 100% pickleball nerd. You're watching the pickleball tournament instead of the college basketball conference games, championship games.
Yeah, that's a little steep, Tim.
Yeah.
Oh, well. You're a big basketball guy.
Hey, if I'm going to be sharing the court with those guys, I got to study them.
Okay.
That's how I all see right. it.
Let me put this against you now. Like, the whatever is like the world championships of pickleball, that game, or yeah, that, or are you watching an NBA Finals game?
I think at this point it's pickleball. Woo! It's a close second.
Wow, and I know you're an NBA guy over college too. The college I can understand because you're just an NBA guy.
Yeah, but the thing is like the pickleball tour, it's kind of the schedule's sporadic. There's not like weekly games. Mm. So it kind of works out well. Whenever there's not a tournament going on, I'll watch like way more NBA. But when, I mean, if there's both on, I'll probably just watch
pickleball.
It's sad. It's bad, man.
NBA, you got to entertain my guy a little better.
I've convinced myself that I'm going to play professionally, so I have to watch.
Just got
to
study the craft.
I have to study.
Love it.
Because there's things like that book, that Inner Game of Tennis book, there's like a chapter dedicated to like watching pros on TV and like how that fits into your subconscious mind when you're playing.
Hmm.
And like they say to like when you're watching the best in the world, you got to just gravitate to what your mind thinks is interesting. So if you see things that they do, like, oh, that's interesting that they did that, kind of file that back in your mind. And you can kind of try that in your own game.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I've been doing. It's been helping me a lot.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll find myself watching a bunch of different jiu-jitsu videos.
Yeah.
Like a certain technique, a different way to get to a similar choke that I like. And it's you know, I got to make sure I don't just start doing a bunch of random shit that I don't really know. It's like, all right, I know that. I can try that. This, I've never done that. I'm not going to just go in and spar with someone and try some random thing. Mm-hmm. But a different way to get to a same choke, like, I think that's very fascinating, too. How else can I get to the same result and surprise somebody?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hear you, man. That's fun. Oh, that's exciting, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
5-0. Let's go.
Yeah. It's been good, man. But, like, I got to just give thanks to everybody that's put me along the way. Like, obviously, I'm putting in the work. I'm executing the shots. I'm doing everything. But, like, it's not – I didn't get here by myself. There's so many people that have played a role. Whenever things like this happen, I always like to show gratitude to people that have gotten me there.
Love it. So. Yeah. But you are the man in the arena.
Yeah.
Got to be grateful. But that's what you told me, my first tournament.
Yeah.
The man in the arena.
Yeah.
Like, you're already in there.
Yeah. Like, regardless of what result that you have, whether you get last place or first place, like, you being there and competing and stepping outside your comfort zone and, like, doing new things and, like, doing things that most people aren't doing, like, you got to remember that, like, that's an accomplishment in yourself for just competing. So it's great.
Yeah.
And that helps the process of learning to, like, once you, it kind of takes away from the anxiety of losing when you realize that, like, you love the process so much that you're going to play again and you're going to enter another tournament, and it's just a learning experience at all points. So
love it, man. Well, but congrats again. That's a big win.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear how Cincinnati goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll let you know. But yeah, before I get to my business update, is there anything else that's going on in your world, whether it's with jujitsu, business, anything that you'd like to talk about?
The jujitsu is going well, I think. I'm just consistently showing up. I'm just still loving it and trying to learn as much as I can all the time. But I think, you know, for where I'm at in my, and those listening, white belt, so it's the first belt, you know, I try to stay very humble when I talk about this. Like, I'm no black belt, not even close, but I just really enjoy learning this craft. It's so fun for me. It's like playing chess, but with, you know, chokes and joint manipulations, and it's just fun though. And you know, I was rolling with one of the guys that really has helped me since my day one at the gym, and my buddy Brad. You know, I give him a lot of credit because he started drilling with me when I first showed up. Like, he still works with me on things, and he's like, dude, it's cool to see how well you've progressed. He goes, you're starting to roll like a blue belt, which, like, I appreciate that. You know, I'm here to learn more, and I try to not get wrapped up into that, but it was a nice compliment. Where, hey, I appreciate that. Like, I'm, you know, really trying to just soak in what Drew teaches, apply it when we spar, and just stick to his plan, you know, show up. One guy asked me, it was in a fundamentals class, so a bunch of us white belts, like, we were doing some positional sparring. So whatever we were drilling that day, we will spar from that position.
Okay.
Both, you know, on top and bottom, whatever we're working, we'll start there. And then you go until there's a pass, a sweep. We go 2 minutes each. But we did kind of like a king of the hill where you get the points, you stay in the middle, and you just keep going. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one guy, he was like, oh man, like, how do you do it? You just kept getting points. I was like, well, just keep showing up, dude. Like, I'm no special case. I'm nobody. I'm just another guy who came in off the street, wanted to do it. And I love it. You know, I thank everyone who is very patient with me in that gym. There's a great community that will spend a lot of time in helping. And so I'm just like, man, I just keep showing up. Like, we're all here working on things. So, I'm no better than anyone else. We're just all showing up, and that's the key. Huh. I was like, yeah, dude, just keep coming. Mm-hmm. You're doing good. Like, so it is fun to how my buddy Brad helped me day one. Not that I, like, again, don't know everything, but helping other people who had just started and kind of paying it forward a little bit, like teaching them what I can teach them. So
it's, I love that.
Yeah, it is that too. So it's a great community that Drew's built there. Champlin. Jiu-Jitsu Academy here in Indianapolis. So that's John.
Episode 209, Drew Champlin.
Oh, look at that. Right off the top. One might say off the dome. Didn't. We don't have sound effects yet.
Yeah, that was good. I mean, it all starts with him, the culture that he builds there.
Yeah.
And then that just trickles down to people like you. Like,
it's
the willingness to teach other people, and everyone you meet can teach you something.
It's incredible, man. Yeah. And you've probably experienced it with other pickleballers where they might teach you just some way how to tweak a certain hit, or mm-hmm. or how to see something, visualize something different.
Yeah.
So it's fun because like-minded people want to help others achieve success. So it's really cool. But mm-hmm. other than that, I mean, I'll talk about jiu-jitsu for the next hour and a half. It's just awesome. But other than that, I'm testing things on TikTok, various types of content. It's very strange to me. I haven't figured out, some things have 3 or 4 times the views and it's not related to nutrition or training. And then I will do something nutrition or training and I stay between in like the 180 to 250 views. And I don't know why yet. Mm. So I'm just testing out various types of content, coaching and not, and just seeing what's resonating.
Yeah.
Postural exercises really resonate with people. So I need to incorporate more of those, more mobility things. People I think are hungry for that. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I need to hone in on. But other than that, man, my Panera run is on fire and the people are loving it. Well, most of them, I say that pretty blanket statement.
You're Panera fans.
The last thing I posted on my personal got like 8 likes, and I'm not trying to like get caught up in that, but I'm like, maybe they're just sick of me. Too bad.
Too bad.
I'm here for the free Panera. So it's, I talked to an inside source recently, my mom, that she is a member of the SIP club. And she's like, yeah, it's like $15 a month, but she was going to cancel. And they gave her like $3 or $5 a month because they're like, oh, don't leave. We'll cut it down. So I've been operating under the assumption it's $5. Now it's 15. And I've never joined the SIP club. I was like, oh, $5 a month. Like, why wouldn't I? I was about to. But then I go like twice a week because I have early clients a couple days a week. Then I go to the office. It's on my way. So I don't go home to brew my own coffee. I will stop at Panera because their hazelnut coffee, it's so velvety, smooth and rich. It's got that touch of hazelnut. It's not overbearing. It just, hey, we're here. We're the hazelnuts. We're here. Just knocking on the door, letting you know that we're here for the ride with you. We're along your journey.
They're in the back seat, but they're not like telling you how to drive.
I couldn't have said it better.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a flawless cup of coffee.
Yeah.
But I have been getting them for free lately. I'll get my card out. It's like a few bucks for a large. And I'll go to hand them my card. Oh, it's on us today. My girl, Shy. Oh, Shy, what up? What up, fam? It's on us today. Oh, thanks. And finally I asked her, I go, hey, is this like a Friday thing or a Monday thing? Because those are the days I go. No. Okay, thanks. I appreciate it. And so, you know, sometimes I'll tip her a few bucks too. But then there's another girl that works there. Same thing though. Every once in a while she'll charge me. But this past week, oh, don't worry about it. Hey, thanks. You're welcome. Have a good Friday. Thanks, you too. And I just drive out of there. Another free large coffee. And people will hit me up. I dare you to try another location. Tim, this one up here in Noblesville on the way to you, I've gotten a free cup of Joe before here. Jeez, too. Man. So you know what? I was half joking about just the pretty face discount. I'm no Clooney, but hey, something is working.
Something about that smile.
I did my makeup right that day. Let my hair down, let it fall a little bit, you know?
Oh,
I put the smile on. I'm very courteous. I'm a nice guy in the drive-thru. People get antsy on their way to work. No, I'm very nice to the people in the drive-thru. Panera, the hazelnut coffee, it's the best. Trust me, I've had them all.
That's good.
So, yeah, and it's funny. My parents get a crack out of watching those. My mom was like, we love your videos. They're best friends who I've known for a long time. Their friend Amy hits me up. We just love watching your Panera videos. I can't stop now, Tim.
Yeah.
I thought, is this really worth it? But then Panera will sometimes see my stories when I tag them, because I'm trying to be spokesperson now too.
Yeah.
I can talk up this hazelnut. Like, yeah. It will brighten your morning. I don't care what has already happened, what kind of emails you have, how many you have. Take a sip of that hazelnut before you respond. You know, type your angry words, sip a hazelnut. All right, I need to delete that. I can solve this. That's what it will do for your day here, folks. So I'm just waiting for a spokesperson deal from Panera, because I think I can give Jake from State Farm and Flo from Progressive a real run for their money. I really think I can. Put this face on an ad. Get me out from behind the mic alone. Panera, let's have a conversation. Tagging them in this episode, because I think I can be the spokesperson for their hazelnut coffee. And hey, if you want to throw in some sandwiches, I'm in. You know, my boy Tim, he loves the salads too. Yeah. Let me get a little discount for my guy Tim here.
Yeah, a little green goddess salad. I'll take it. That's
fine. Pro pickleball community enters Panera Bread sponsorship.
Yes.
You give Tim the caffeine, the salad, whatever he needs that day.
Yeah.
But I do need to break from the coffee, because I have tried an alternative, Tim. And I made sure they sent us extra. I was like, well, my co-host Tim, he's got to try this too. So Magic Mind, these little green juice shots. And I get a little hesitant when I see something that's green. I take a greens powder, very delightful. But this green juice, it's a little energy shot. And it's got vitamins, got nutrients. And I even asked their B12. They're like, it's methylated, so it's a very proper source of vitamin B12. It's methylcobalamin. You'll see cyanocobalamin in a lot of energy drinks, so they can promote, oh, we have B12. That's not the one you want. No, they're not skimping on ingredients. They're not going cheap on us. And I will say, it tastes good. You do want to chill it. You want it chilled. I've talked to people that had it room temp, and they're like, eh. I was like, first mistake. You need to chill that bad boy.
Yep.
So quick shot. And I actually did it in an afternoon when I was at work. And before I knew it, I was more alert. I was like, oh, I'm kind of in the groove here. I'm on a roll with my tasks, and it's almost time to go. And so that's kind of how it made me feel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was a little wary at first, but I was like, hey, we'll try it out. Chilled them. Man, I like them.
Yeah,
I like them a lot. So I know you tried them too, the Magic Mind. What were your takeaways? Did it help you at all?
Yeah. You know me. I'm all about efficiency. Don't get me wrong. Coffee's good because I like to sip it gradually. But if you need like the energy right away to fuel the session, it's a shot. Like it takes 3 seconds to drink, and it's good too.
Yeah.
You'll wish it was the size of a cup of coffee when you drink it.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
The juice you'd be on if you took that much Magic Mind? Oh, baby, you're gonna solve diseases.
No, I enjoyed it. They're very transparent about the ingredients that are in it, too.
Yeah.
And, just apart from the taste, just the feeling I got afterward, it was such a productive afternoon. I took it in the afternoon as well, around 1 p.m. and got so much done.
Nice.
With it.
Nice.
But yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So if you guys are interested and you want to try Magic Mind, go to magicmind.com/offthedome20, or you can type in offthedome20 at checkout to get you 15% off, 20% off your order. Wow. I'm going to do that again. So if you guys are interested in trying some Magic Mind, use the code offthedome20 at checkout, or go to magicmind.com/offthedome20 to get yourselves 20% off. And if you do so in the first 10 days and you subscribe, you get 50% off your subscription. So again, magicmind.com/offthedome20 or at checkout offthedome20. All right. All right. All right. Oh. All right. Tim, what are some career tips? Help people get in the roles that they are meant for in their jobs. What do you got for us?
Yeah. Recently, I've had a lot of clients tell me how the resume is working. They're getting into interviews, but they just can't break through to get that top spot. They've been like the second, the third, the fourth choice, but they can't break through that interview stage. So today I want to talk about the three best types of answers to use in an interview. Hmm. Before I get into these, I want to make sure people understand when you're in an interview, you can say all these nice things about yourself, but the true people that get through the interviews are the people that use stories, examples, and appeal to the emotional aspect of the interviewer. Mm. So with all these, these three types of answers I'm going to give you, see how you can tie these into a story and example. I'm going to give you examples for each. The first one is answers about adaptability and flexibility. So time is when you've dealt with unexpected changes, things where you've had to pivot and kind of step outside your comfort zone in a job. Some things to use in this types of answer are like times when you've been in a role where the responsibilities have changed, whether it's in a promotion or if you've just shifted responsibilities and then you've done well in that shift. So that's a good example of adaptability, flexibility. When you've joined a company, you've had to learn like new technology or new systems. Every company uses different systems. So that's a pretty easy one. So talk about a time when you've had to learn something new in a job, like a technology or a system that someone uses. And then nowadays, like I'm seeing a lot of people go through like mergers, organizational changes, whether your company gets acquired or whether your company acquires someone. Anytime where your overall organization changes, how did you deal with that? How did you thrive in that change? What did you do to kind of help facilitate that change? That's a great example. So adaptability, flexibility. The other thing is like answers about problem solving skills. So employers love employees who do the job well, but they know how to navigate through unexpected things or demonstrate their ability to solve problems. So this could be like if you're in a client-facing role, if you have to solve like a customer issue or like an angry customer and appease them, if you're in a role where you have limited resources. So whether it's a manager who's not as helpful, a manager who's not there, if you're working in a remote role, working by yourself, anytime where you had to like do something with limited resources or use the people around you, that's a good example of problem-solving skills. And then anytime you've improved something, a process, a system, if you've made your own role or position easier or better or more efficient for the next person who takes your spot, like think about like if you were to teach your role to someone else, like if you were to leave your role and the next person fills your role and they've never met you before, how can you make your role self-sufficient enough where they can just come in and do it really easily? Think about ways you've done that or things you can do in the present day to do that so you can use that kind of story in an interview. So adaptability, flexibility, answers about problem-solving skills. And then the last one is answers about a learning and a growth mindset. So even more importantly, employers are not going to expect you to do everything in the job description. So this is for people who are in an interview who they may be like underqualified for a position or they notice things that in the job description they haven't done before. Think about times before where you have stepped into a similar role where you didn't have all the qualifications. Think about times when you had to like learn new things for a role, master a role, different stuff like that. So whether that's like some other examples you can use is like learning from a mistake. Think about times in your career where you've made a mistake, you've learned from it. Think about times when you've worked at a company, you've done your role, you've taken care of your responsibilities, but you've gone above and beyond to pursue professional development opportunities, whether it's certifications, training that that company offers. And then also like just think about times when you've gone out of your way to learn from other people at your company and you've used that information to do your role better. Companies will love that. Like they don't expect you to know how to do everything, but they expect you to master the role at some point and learn and grow in the position. So those three things. So answers about adaptability and flexibility, answers about problem solving skills, and then answers about learning and growth mindset. If you can have a system going in an interview where you have maybe like a few stories that match each of those three buckets, like you're going to do much better in your interviews. If you were consistent with that, you're going to get more jobs. Sweet. I promise you.
I think that's fantastic. And I'm curious, I want to go a little deeper into if they see a skill requirement where it's like, you know, this is a requirement, not a nice to have. And there's a skill or experience that someone doesn't have, but they fit maybe 70 to 80% of everything else. Not every job application has a place for a cover letter where they might be able to express that. What are some best pointers for maybe incorporating that story within a resume to get you into the interview where you can then expand on it?
Yeah.
Does my question make sense?
Yeah, you're talking about like what to do in a resume to communicate those three things.
Or even one of those. Like, yeah. I don't have XYZ experience, but I have experience learning something new. What's maybe a best practice to keep it very short and concise on a resume?
Yeah.
To kind of get that box checked to get you into the interview where you can expand. Hey, I don't have this exact skill, but this is how these other ones translate into me being able to learn that.
Yeah. I mean, just like communicating it as efficiently as possible. In a resume, you get a page, maybe some people have 2-page resumes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of space. Like, you don't want to have fluff in your resume, but what you're alluding to right there, that's like a perfect, that's not fluff. That's something you should put in your resume. Anytime where you've done any of these three things, like, really make sure it's showcased either in the career summary of your resume at the top, mm-hmm. whether you want to say like the ability to learn and adapt on the flow, or if you want to get even more specific and talk about a time when you learned and adapt like on the go in a role. You can do that in the career summary. But I think a good place to put it is like as a bullet point under a work experience.
Okay.
Like if you want to explain what you did, but then being like, which is transferable to a role involving X. Like,
gotcha.
It's okay for a bullet point on a resume to go to 2 lines. That's okay. So like if you want to get a little more long-winded on a bullet point, but make sure that it's easily readable and someone can catch it easily. I think that's a good place to put it there is use these examples in your resume. Cause like that's the other thing I tell people about resumes. Resume will get your foot in the door, but it's also like a quick reference guide for you in your interview. So like because like you can bring in like an interview cheat sheet or your notes on a notebook, but like your resume can serve a dual purpose of getting your foot in the door to the interview, but also like if you see a bullet point in your resume that you want to expand upon in the interview, it's right there in front of you to organize your thoughts better.
Easy
that's
notes.
How I write all my resumes for all my clients is like I want to give you something that you can easily use as a reference guide in an interview, so that you can it can jog your memory once you see it at a high level in the resume. So
that's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But yeah, that's a good question.
Great answer.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I think you saying that, hey, you can take a second line for a bullet point. Mm-hmm. If it's worth the space, take the space.
Yeah.
To your point, just make it concise, efficient, easy to read, and make it worth the time and space on the resume.
Yeah. And just a quick like example, I'm working with a client right now who she's like a quality assurance inspector. So she looks at like airplane parts and she inspects them. Okay. And then if things are off or wrong, she'll engage and have a conversation with someone from finance and she'll have a conversation with someone from like procurement, supply chain. Mm-hmm. But she wants to transition into doing one of those roles in the future. So even though she's not doing those roles, in her resume, we're saying how she, when things, there's a bullet point that says when things are off, she provides insights to them and then we'll put on that bullet point transferable to doing this role in the future, something like that. So
she coordinates well with those people, kind of knows what it takes to have, like she can speak the language.
Yeah, so perfectly okay for you to do that. So state what you do in your current role, but if there's something that you do that's transferable, you can explicitly say in the resume, transferable to a role in finance because you've engaged with finance.
Nice, people. Oh, that's brilliant.
So just a quick example to put a bow on that.
I think Boeing could use someone like her to inspect some parts.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's they're kind of going down, no pun intended.
Yeah, I've seen some headlines recently.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. The one whistleblower?
Come on. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes. Okay. But we'll see what happens with that. But that's a great, great tip to use that specific language of transferable to this skill set. Mm-hmm. And we've talked before where you have provided insight on how to transition to a different role within the same company. But hey, I want to try this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also a great way to do that via resume. I'm applying for this, but in the future, I like to also open the door to this, and having that transferable to this or that type of role, I think gives hopefully that employer the wherewithal to read that and think they want to expand within the company.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what they got.
Yeah.
They have plans to maybe lay down some roots and help us in a lot more ways.
Right.
That's the employee they want, someone that's going to stick around.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if you're someone like in a role and you're looking to transition to another field or role and you don't do anything in your role that pertains to that, if you're at that level, the best thing you could do is just reach out to people at your company who do work in those roles and just have like a one-on-one with them or a regular meeting each week and just learn everything you can about what they do.
Yeah.
Even that can be a bullet point in a resume.
Yeah.
The fact that you've gone out of your way. Like if you're writing your resume to transition to that, put that in your resume that you, because you spent part of your workday doing that and having informational interviews. So that's perfectly okay to put that in your resume, even though it's not like a day-to-day responsibility for you.
Yeah.
So.
And within the company, I think that word gets out too.
Yeah.
When you're doing that.
Yeah.
Like that will get out. People will notice. They're really curious about this side of things.
Yeah.
And those people that you're visiting with, people love to talk about what they do and about themselves, so they're going to love you too if you just ask everything you can about them and get to know everything about what they do.
Yeah, for sure.
They love to explain.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, great tips. Oh, great tips.
Thanks.
Going to be a lot of clips.
Yeah, a lot of clips within that.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, give us a fitness tip.
Okay, so this one, I've been thinking about this one this week because I recently did a post about kind of how many carbs to eat before a specific performance. So I'm going to take that a little further. And, you know, when it comes to a sport performance, like with pickleball, we've talked about, you know, different types of foods. I do not care about food quality when it comes to performance and when it comes to winning. Food quality, I throw it out the window. I do not care. And some might look at that and think, but you want to be healthy, you want well-sourced foods, you want good vitamins, nutrients. Yes, for sure. But when the goal is to win the thing, mm-hmm. that's all that matters. You having a bagel because it's high glycemic before a competition is not going to degrade your health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can worry about health the other 5, 6, 7 days. That's a full week. The other 5 or 6 days. But, you know, I recently finished with a wrestler, a high school wrestler, and the goal was to get to state, and which he did. It was awesome. And that's kudos to him. I didn't tweak his food a whole lot, and that was in the very first conversation. But, yeah, when it comes to competition, I just want you to be able to perform and feel your best performing. Like, I'm there to help you win. That's all. We'll fix the rest. But when it comes to getting ready to compete, I want what works for you. I want what you are going to perform at the absolute peak that you can. I don't care about what it is, if it's a bagel or rice cake or pineapple or whatever. Maybe you feel great on just rice. It doesn't matter. I do not care the quality, the food source. I just care that it works for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like I said, we'll worry about the rest later. But I think, you know, and it's good that people get wrapped up in well, it's another processed food. I need to limit processed foods. Yes, for sure. But when I'm getting paid to help someone win, that's the result.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what we're going for. It's at that point, no, we're not paying you to increase some biomarkers or this or that. It's to help them win.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Again, we can worry about the rest later. But that short-term sacrifice of quality isn't going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I don't think there are, quote, good and bad foods. There's just good and bad application of foods.
Mm-hmm.
Now, should you be eating a bagel every single day of your life? Probably not. It's probably not the most optimal for your health. You know, first thing in the morning, you probably don't want a bagel. You're going to blunt your cortisol. You want cortisol to do its thing in the morning, okay? So it's not that the bagel itself is bad, just your application could be better.
Mm.
So, you know, you're not going to slam a bagel right before bed either.
Right.
Because it's very high glycemic. It's fast sugar. So, again, it's just food quality matters, yes, but there's also time and place for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So when pre-workout, before competition, I don't give a shit about food quality.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. What's going to work for us?
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
I like that.
Later, Yeah, fine. Get your salad in, whatever. But until that point, I do not care.
Yeah, I like that reminder too. Because it's like, it's short term and long term, but like when it comes to performance, you have to listen to your body and how it responds to certain types of foods. Mm-hmm. So if it's working for you, you can do that in moderation, because you're not going to be competing in high performing events every single day of your life.
Right.
100%. So it's okay.
Yeah. 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 So like I've done it with jujitsu. I've done it when I competed CrossFit too. Like I will utilize candy, like Mike and Ike's. Are they like the most healthy option for me? Absolutely not. But for that day, that's what I can stomach. Like I have a hard time eating other whole foods, even protein bars. I can't drink a shake. Like it sloshes around. Like, so it's what I can also stomach for me at the time. Mm-hmm. And Mike and Ike's work. So, you know, that's my, one of my go-tos.
Yeah.
For that. And it's funny. There's a couple other people in the CrossFit gym now that they will utilize candy before like the open is going on. So before the open workouts, people had candy and stuff. And I just think it's funny, because yeah. I've talked about that. Doc will use it too. And I'm like, yeah, man, it's what works. It's fast sugar. It's palatable, and I can stomach it.
Yeah. I love it.
So yeah, that's my fitness tip for today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't want that to leave the door open for, well, I'm going to go work out, so I'm going to eat 4 Pop-Tarts. You know? It's like, no, man. Like, you know,
yeah.
It's not, the door isn't open for you to eat like a child. Mm-hmm. It's for the sake of performance and what works for that. So, you know, I know we've talked snacks about what works for you pre and intra your pickleball tournaments. I know you're big on fruit too. Coconut water works for you. Mm-hmm. But we've talked about things like bagels, rice cakes, pretzels, like things that you can eat, you feel good on, and you get energy from. Pineapple, watermelon. So those are good fruits, very high glycemic fruits. If you want something like that, also adds a little more water as well. So keep you a little extra hydrated. But yeah, you know, it's about performance.
Yeah.
If that is your thing, it's about performing. Worry about the rest later.
Yeah.
So.
And I've got a system now. Rice cakes, baby.
Those work for you?
The things that I've been eating, bananas, apples, and oranges. Those are the fruits I get.
Yep.
Any combination of those, 1, 2, or maybe sometimes all of them.
Yeah.
And then the apple cinnamon rice cakes, and then beef jerky. Okay. That's like
nice.
And I feel like I'm good for the tournament.
Yeah. So yeah, I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah. And then of course afterward, and this is exactly what I ate post tournament, 45 pieces of sushi.
I mean, look. You
are. You know where I went.
Speaking of
Panera's and ads, Watami, sushi, Broad Ripple, dude, go there. It's best bang for your buck.
The day we get a Watami discount, my goodness. It's already a hell of a deal going there for all you can eat during lunch 11 to 2 there in Broad Ripple, Indiana. But my goodness.
My goodness.
The moment we sign that dotted line, Tim, we've made it.
Yeah.
We've made it.
Yeah.
So if you go to Watami, because of us, just let them know, hey, we heard about you on this podcast. It's pretty awesome. So is your sushi.
Yeah.
Because, their sushi is OG to the max.
Yeah. And go for lunch, because that's when it's like half the price, 15, 16 bucks for all you can eat.
But they do have dinner all you can eat.
Yeah, but Broad Ripple's not safe during the night. So go during the day for lunch.
But that's a little outskirts. That's not right downtown Broad Ripple. They're not going to Land Sharks. Okay. If you're there, you've gone too far. But yeah. I like the warning label attached to it. But Watami's safe. They're going to take care of you there. You're okay.
Sushi will get you to where you need to go.
Make sure you're strapped up. But you'll be taken care of.
right.
But they have lunch and dinner, all you can eat. Dinner's what, five extra bucks or something?
No, it's like 34, 33.
Maybe. Really? That's what we paid?
It's around 30. It's around.
Really?
It's in the $30
range. I thought it was like maybe an extra 5 to 10.
No.
Because usually it's what, okay, 16 bucks?
Maybe I'm wrong. Don't quote me on that.
16 bucks for lunch, I think. $15.99. I think they increased it like $2 or $3 because of you and me.
Yeah. Yeah. They ran the numbers. The de facto CFO came in and looked at the inventory. They looked at the transaction records. Be like, these guys.
These sons of bitches.
But they're not looking at the marketing numbers, too. They're not looking at the affiliate marketing we're doing on our social media.
Listen to us. Like, listen to us.
Your guys' sales have gone up because of us, though.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm taking credit for that.
We're slamming at least $150 worth of sushi. And I can exaggerate sometimes, but Tim and I's first order. First, we're each putting back two salads back to back before the Sushilins get there, okay? Then Tim will go through at least half a bowl of edamame on his own accord. Then
I always offer, and you,
yeah,
you
said, yeah, I have some, yeah, but I like to save it. I already had two salads. I like to you know, put these sushi rolls out of their misery as soon as possible. We have an actual platter that comes. It's just me and Tim, two of us. There is an actual platter. It takes up the whole table. Then that's done. Then we probably get four or five more rolls. We're hitting $150. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it. Between the salads, the edamame, and the sushi. And I think at most that we've ever left is maybe five pieces of sushi.
Yeah, it's all gone.
Yeah, and that's like, I hate wasting food, but we haven't gone past like five pieces that get tossed.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, we do a pretty good job of sizing eyes with stomachs, and we can eat that sushi.
Yeah.
So yep. Watami and Broad Ripple. Woo!
Yeah.
And get you some.
One final tip on Watami before we move on. To make sure your dollar goes far. Because every time you go in here, you want to eat as much because you want,
yep,
to get the bang for your buck.
Yep.
Save the fried and the cooked rolls for last. Because if you eat them early, the fried stuff, it fills up your stomach quicker, yep, and you can't eat as many after that.
So extra breading.
Do the cold, do the uncooked,
it's first. Genius.
Non-fried first.
Genius.
And then save the goodies for last.
Man.
Yeah.
What Tommy out here just Tommy. Getting all the free ads. Good grief. All right, Sam, let's get down and nerdy with it. What do you got for us today?
Yeah, I'm turning the clock back to a book I read 3 years ago. Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. And I even think I've used this exact excerpt from this book. It was like 3 years ago, but I'm bringing it up again because it's applicable.
Right. Yeah.
They talk about two entities that occupy your body with everything, depending on no matter what situation you're going into. One part is motivated by fear in response to fear, and one is motivated by faith in response to faith. And my biggest takeaway from this is like, yes, it's okay to acknowledge that the world is dangerous. There's things that can threaten your livelihood. There's things that can threaten your safety. But you need to understand which situations to draw the line at on. Rely on the faith that like you put in the work, your body, your ability, your decision-making ability, mm-hmm, in any situation. So like whether you're in a performance sport, whether you're in your career making a decision on if you want to put yourself out there, really just trust, lean on the faith aspect, the faith entity that you've put in the work, you've had the conversations, you've learned from enough people, you've failed enough to get to this point where like you are ready to take this next step that may seem scary. Maybe you need to relocate your family for a job. Maybe you need to cut something off so that you can go do something else. These types of things that you're afraid of doing, like it's okay to be afraid and calculate the risks, but like really rely on the work that you put into this point. Mm, so
I like that.
That yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously like you and I, like we're religious. We have faith in God. So
yeah,
faith in that too, like faith in your own abilities, but faith in that higher being of that spiritual being that guides you to where you're at too. So 100%. That's another thing I want to put on there. So
yeah.
Yeah. That's what I got from that book, Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill.
Yeah. I think that's good. To know kind of how to draw the line there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are a lot of things that are like, are fearful, right? Like starting a new job is kind of scary, or moving is kind of scary, especially mm-hmm. if you're by yourself, you know, but, and I have various thoughts about Will Smith, but he does have one great quote about fear, and that some of the greatest things are on the other side of fear. Mm-hmm. And when you do those scary things, the next thing that seems scary will not be as scary. You kind of get calloused to making, I don't want to say scary decisions, but decisions that you might have shied away from a little more or hesitated a little more towards in the past. So once you start doing more and more of that, you kind of callous yourself to situations. That's not that scary. I'm going to make that jump. I'm going to go for that job. I'm going to move here because I want to try it and I can. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a difference between that and safety of your life.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. learn combat. Come to Champlin Jiu-Jitsu Academy.
Self-defense, on
71st and Binford.
That's a great example.
Yeah.
Like you can go into, because you have that, like if you're in any like uncertain situations with people or if you need to defend yourself, like you have that faith in yourself that you've put in countless hours doing jiu-jitsu and can defend yourself.
And it's, yeah, it, not only that too, because like we don't strike at a certain point, like you can just inherently strike, but it's also being able to diffuse the dangerous parts of a conflict. So Jordan Peterson says, you know, there's an undertone of violence within any interaction, especially between men. Like you're kind of sizing the other one up. Like if you first meet someone, you're both sizing the other one up.
Yeah.
And, but if someone starts to be a hothead and you practice a martial art, you're probably a lot more confident in your ability to also defuse that because you're confident in your ability to practice that violence. But it's, hey, it doesn't need to go there.
Yeah.
Let's calm down. I think it builds that confidence to de-escalate rather than some hothead at a bar who's now invincible because he had a few too many shots of tequila. And it's like, and I know friends who kind of get hot at bars. Like, hey, dude, it's not worth it. Okay.
No.
Like you're going to get cuffed up. I'm going to have to bail. Like, you know, it's just, I think you also build the skill and the mindset to de-escalate when it's just not worth it. Now, if someone puts hands on you, ruin their day. Protect you and yours. Yeah, protect you and yours. But, you know, just avoid the silliness. But, yeah, I still have not read Outwitting the Devil. But now I'm on Audible. I can listen to it
a
lot faster.
There you go.
So, you know, if Audible wants to, you know, give us a deal too. You know, we're just doing all the free ads today, I guess. But
I feel like that one would be a creative one to listen on Audible because there's some literal quotes from the devil in that book. So I wonder if they'll have like a little sinister voice for that part.
Come down to me.
Yeah, like I have to re-listen to this.
Yeah, who's reading this?
Could be interesting.
Like, who's going to be? So you have Morgan Freeman, and then who would be? Who's got a satanic voice?
Yeah. Than I am.
Someone who's played the Joker in the past. Okay. So I have been listening to, so I did finish last time we talked about your next five moves, finish that. Fantastic. Love Patrick Bet-David. But now I am knee deep in Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss, who was, you know, a global, FBI negotiator, hostage negotiator. And it's so fun to hear. So he is not the one actually reading it. And I haven't researched why he didn't read it. You know, I don't know if it's, you know, safety for his, like for who he is because he's been in a lot of these. I don't know. But he does like teachings. He does like classes. He refers to students. So he's well known. He's out there. But anyway, four ways to approach conflict and also get everything you want. So he would use these certain techniques to calm down hostage situations. And he talked about one in Harlem where these people had a hostage in an apartment. They weren't coming out. They weren't responding. They're outside the door. They're not even getting a response with anything. They don't know what's going on. And he talks about, you know, he uses this low FM DJ voice where it's, well, it seems like you don't really want to come out there. It seems like you think that once you open the door, we're going to come in guns blazing. It seems like you don't want to go to jail. And just things like that, where he takes a different tone of voice, kind of, you know, less authoritative, not like, hey, come out. You don't want to go to jail again. No, it's very different. Hey, it seems like you don't want to go back to jail. And it just kind of that low FM DJ voice, like, hey, welcome to B96, 96.3.
Kind of like more soothing to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? It's kind of smooth talk, smooth jazz radio. And also start with, I'm sorry. So say your boss wants you to do four copies of X report. It's going to take you all week. I'm sorry, 4 copies? Well, you know, I want one. I want to have an extra for the client, this and that. I'm like, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. So the client requested extra copies and you want one for our records and then the extra is for... It's like, well, they didn't request it. And by the time you're done, they might have you just make 1 or 2 copies. Mm. That'll take you half the time. So just, I'm sorry. And just repeat what they said.
Repeat.
I'm sorry. This project? I'm sorry. By Friday? Maybe they had originally said by the following Monday. I'm sorry. Mm. By Friday? And they will inherently just dive deeper. Mm-hmm. So do that and then mirror what they said. So first, use the low FM DJ voice. Start with, 2 is start with, I'm sorry. 3, mirror what they said. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. 4 copies. And then 4 is be silent. Mm-hmm. You know, let it be silent. It's one of those, there's a sales tactic. The first person that talks loses. After you finish something, mm-hmm. leave it open-ended to where they need to respond. Don't keep talking over what you just let ring out.
Yeah.
Silence is okay. Let it be quiet and then repeat. So when they start to dive in, yeah, we'll copy for this, copy for that. I'm sorry. So the client also asked for an extra copy and it's the low FM DJ voice and yeah. you mirror what they say. Well, they didn't specifically ask, but I want to like, oh, I'm sorry. And then you repeat it and you mirror and you wait.
Yeah.
And by the time you're done, you might have half the workload, but use that low FM DJ voice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It sounds like you don't want to come out right now because you think we'll come in guns blazing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You wanted 4 copies? And just, you know, any scenario. But yeah, 4 ways to approach conflict and get everything you want. 1, use the low FM DJ voice. 2, start with, I'm sorry. 3, mirror what they said. 4, be silent. 5 is repeat. Mm-hmm. But the silence is critical. You cannot step over what you just said. You will ruin it. So let them come back with something else. Like once you ask the question, I'm sorry, and you mirror what they said, shut up. Because you get them talking. And he says the language of negotiating is primarily a language of conversation and rapport. So, you know, maybe you don't want to make all 4 copies. Okay. Go in with the FM DJ voice. I'm sorry. 4 copies? Mirror and be quiet. Get more information. Then you can mirror the new information. Then they'll give you more information. Mirror that new information and just kind of keep working through it. Keep going and going and you work it down. Mm-hmm. Dude, this, I love
that's
this
good.
Book. Never Splits a Difference by Chris Voss. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I still have 5 hours and I'm excited for all 5.
Yeah. And Chris Voss is, I mean, you said it already. He's not just like some dude who's just, these are ideas he's pulling out of his head. He's has no experience. This guy has been with the FBI.
Yeah.
This right? FBI? Yep. CIA? Yeah. Yep. He's been in the
I think
most,
he's probably worked with multiple agencies,
yeah.
but like
he's been
global
in the
hostage negotiator.
Highest stress situations in the world. So he's been through it. So yeah. like what he says, I mean, it's...
Yeah, some of the most dangerous people in the world.
It's the gold standard.
Yeah, it's so great. With whatever, you know, if you're in sales especially, but, you know, other negotiators, just everyday things.
Yeah.
Like I just listened to a story, this guy was on a tight deadline to sign a specific contract. And the person that was buying their service or product said, if you are not here and the contract is not signed by this time, he had to like go to Dallas or something. By this time on this date, no deal. So this dude's flying out of Baltimore. Huge lightning storm happens, delays everyone's flight by hours. He's going to miss his connection in Austin. And so he finally gets to Austin. I think it's like the night before and he can't get to Dallas and you know he sees this couple at the counter and they are berating this airline worker, like, you know, she can't control the weather, there are only so many seats, and they are going off and they finally walk away and he makes a good point, like after that, that is the prime time for you to go in and make a deal because that person is seeking some empathy. Like they are hungry for just a little connection and someone to just be a little bit of a hero and be nice. And so, you know, it goes in and, you know, he talks about labeling. So he labels what happened right up front. Man, it seems like they were really just giving it to you. Yeah, well, the weather delayed everyone, this and that, and everyone's in town for the big game, so they're trying to get to Dallas. I'm sorry. The big game? The little FM DJ voice, I'm sorry, you mirror. And yeah, this and that, blah, blah, blah. So keeps mirroring and labeling. And he goes, well, you know, I was really hoping to go to Dallas for work, and it seems like, you know, most of the flights are booked, but, you know, is there any way I can get on this connection? It's in 30 minutes. Any chance that some people, like you said, aren't going to make it in time because they also got delayed? Silence. She doesn't say anything after she was super talkative, clicking on the computer, slides a boarding pass across the table. Seems like some other people got delayed and they're definitely not going to make it in time. Have a safe flight to Dallas. In time, signs a contract, lands the deal.
That's amazing.
So especially if someone's really mean, I mean, it happens with airlines all the time. People are awful.
Yeah.
Right after that is your time to swoop in. Maybe you get a first class ticket. Maybe you get an upgrade. Man, it seems like they were really unhappy with their seats. You know, don't sound like there's any other upgrades. You know, and work your way into it. And let them open up, mirror and label. Let them open up, mirror again. I'm sorry, this. The low FM DJ voice. And then make your ask at the right time. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't get something. Maybe you get a first class.
Maybe you do.
So,
I love it. That's great. Yeah. Those are good examples and good principles.
So
I'm going to use some of that this week.
It's fantastic. Yeah, even like if you're at the store, whatever, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, you make that connection, people will hook you up. Mm-hmm. It's just because we're human. We thrive for that. So yeah.
Good.
All right. Anything else, Tim?
No. I think this is good. I hope everyone has a good week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sitting in with us. And yeah, if there's any, like I said before, like if there's anything else you want us to talk about in the show, feel free to reach out and we'll address it.
Yeah.
So thanks again.
Yeah. If you guys are enjoying the show, please head over to iTunes or Spotify. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. That helps us with our visibility. And again, if you do want to try our new nootropic Magic Mind, go to magicmind.com/offthedome20 or use off the dome 20 at checkout for 20% off. And again, leave us that 5-star rating and review. Until next time, we are out of here.